In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. This Sunday being the fifth Sunday of Lent, we celebrate or commemorate St. Mary of Egypt. This past week, we read her story in the church, and I sent y'all a video if you want to watch it. If you haven't read her story, please do. The sermon will make very little sense if you haven't read her story. Well, I'll summarize some of it. So, Saint Mary of Egypt is a 6th century saint, and in her story it says around the age of 12 that she began to live a life of sin. And she doesn't give us the details, but what becomes very apparent is that she was given over to pleasure, that she was given over to lust, and that she sought every opportunity to indulge in those things. And that as she did this, she became more and more enslaved to that passion. And this, of course, is a reminder to us that we're often tempted in simple ways to sin. But as we practice things that are not good for our souls, that gradually they take hold of our souls, that they pull us in deeper and deeper. And once when we think that we're doing things freely, and then we wake up to find ourselves completely enslaved to something and unable to get free if we wanted to. Of course, one of the challenges that we could level against ourselves is if we want to be free, we should stop. How many people have said that they could stop? I could stop if I wanted to. Of course, this is familiar within the realm of addiction. People say, I can stop anytime I want to. Okay, well, then stop. And it's only when we really try to stop that we find out that it's not so easy. And we have excuses. Well, St. Mary gave herself to this, and she didn't even want to stop. She had no desire to stop. And additionally, we're going to add to her story that maybe something that's overlooked sometimes, that all the people that she brought into her sin. You see, it wasn't just that she was given over to lust or sensuality. It was also that she seduced people. She dragged them into it. She did whatever she could to get what she wanted without regard for her own soul. And then secondarily, without regard for the souls that she would entrap in her lair. And so we can summarize that St. Mary was a horrible person. Just terrible. I mean, if we were to think about it in modern terms, we would just say, wow. I mean, we might feel bad for her, but at the same time, we certainly wouldn't want her babysitting our kids. What a terrible person. And this is the state that St. Mary found herself in. I wonder if we'd ever consider how God felt about St. Mary. You know, I just said that she's a horrible person. We haven't gone into detail because there's kids in the room. But what she did with her life in those years, 17 years, dedicating to fulfilling her passionate desires, how did God view her? Judging by my experience of people and sometimes the way I think that we might be tempted to say that God was angry at her, that he looked at her, or forget about it, he wouldn't even look at her, that he was absolutely disgusted and appalled by her. She even says in her story, she says, "It's a wonder the earth didn't open up and swallow me." So even within her own life, as she tells her story, she thinks that maybe she was so dirty that it was possible that God would have sucked her into the belly of the earth, destroyed her. And I think that we think this way oftentimes. Many of us have besetting sins. Some of us don't, and thank God you get to relax for this sermon. Those of you who aren't sinners out there. For those who fall repeatedly into various things, it is so hard to get up and to believe what our faith teaches us. And it is so much easier to think that God is up there wagging his finger, totally disappointed, angry, wrathful, punishing, disgusted, and that he won't even look at us. But in Mary's story, it shows that it totally isn't the case. Again, like the Apostle Paul, Mary was not looking for Jesus. Mary was trying to get to a church so that she could see the cross. She paid to get to that church by doing what she did best. And it was only upon being stopped at entering the church, not once, not twice, but three times, that she sat down with a little disappointment that she wasn't allowed to enter in and to be in the front of a holy relic, essentially, the true cross. And it was only then that she looked up to the Mother of God. And that opportunity for her to be stopped and to look up was provided to her by God. And she woke up. She woke up and she asked for the Mother of God's intercessions. She made a vow. And it was in that moment, just like on the road to Damascus, as the Apostle Paul is breathing threats, throwing Christians in prison, holding the coats of those who stone St. Stephen, as he's taking people to prison, it's that moment. For someone who is disastrous and sinful, as Paul was, that God appeared to him, that God woke him up. We know the rest of the story of St. Mary is that she suffers in the desert for 17 years severely, and we can understand that she spent 17 years indulging and 17 years in intense pain, dealing with the frustration, because it is unfortunate, even if God forgives us, many sins have consequences. And once we have taken a garment and soaked it in dye, it's almost impossible to fully get the dye out. It takes a lot of work to do that. She then goes on to live in the desert as an ascetic, and we hear the rest of her story. We call her Saint Mary, and I do encourage you to read it, of course, at this time of year. Now, if we were to take today's story and apply it to how God looks at her, we might say that God is always looking with love towards us. We could ascribe human emotions to God, and we could say something like, that God is disappointed. We can say that, but we got to always say that God's disappointment is not one of disgust and turning away, rather than the love of who we are and the desire for us to be healthy. I mean, this is hard to conceptualize. So much of our idea of disappointment is about rejection. It's about God turning away or other people. But it is possible to be disappointed in somebody, but still have full, benevolent, loving intentions towards them, and realizing that we desire them to reach their potential, but that instead of that, they're destroying themselves. Well, many parents can certainly understand this, spouses, and it's just universal. So we should reframe, for us who have sins, who fall down and get up as Christians do, we should reframe our idea of God. God desires our salvation. God loves us intensely. God will do things to provide opportunity for us to repent. He will send situations, and even though we may be in the lowest pit of despair and darkness or slavery to our passions, God is always waiting. The parable we are given is the image of the prodigal son who goes away and goes into slavery. And yet the father is always running out looking for the son. Where is he? But it's even more than that. We would say that the father in St. Mary's instance provided opportunities for her to wake up. That he sent his spirit, that he sent her the feelings, the right thoughts at the right time and the right situation to bring her to herself so that she could be transformed and healed. So, this is one of the reasons we have great hope. This is one of the reasons why we don't judge people. Because as we go out into this world and we see people who are disastrous, who drag others down in sin, who are broken, it's so easy to judge, but we have to remember that God desires their salvation and that God will possibly provide an opportunity for other people to wake up. And in particular, as Christians, we always need more opportunities to wake up, to come to ourselves. So, through the prayers of St. Mary, may God help us to see Him more clearly. May He help us to be more merciful to each other, and may He wake us up so that we can repent of our sins and dedicate our lives more fully to Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. Amen.